Lots of you are getting in touch, telling us about how listening to Adept English has helped you get a job for which you needed to speak English. You passed the interview speaking some English and you got the job. If you'd like to be in this position, if you'd like to be able to speak English well enough to get a job that needs you to know English, listen on. I'm going to talk today about how to make your CV or your resume and make it stand out, get you that interview. Hello, I'm Hilary and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. Now, I've covered this topic, the subject of jobs and interviews, a few times before in podcasts. In podcast number 454, I talked to you through common words, common vocabulary used for job interviews, and the process of getting a job. In podcast 460, I talked to you through some ideas on how to prepare for a job interview in English. Really helpful, I hope. And then in podcast 484, I gave you the English phrases you need for leaving your job, just in case you found an even better one. If you're in the process of trying to get a job, it may be a good idea for you to revisit those previous podcasts if you want to learn the English language for it. Well, today, let's have a look at how to put together your CV or curriculum vitae. I'm talking generally here about how to do it, rather than specifically about an English version of your CV or resume. But hopefully you'll pick up some useful tips and some useful English vocabulary along the way. The first thing that is important is do your research. Decide what type of job it is that you're looking to go for and look at job adverts, job boards, job specs or specifications for those types of job. Notice what skills they're looking for and make sure that your CV talks to that, that your CV demonstrates firstly that you have those required skills and secondly, how you acquired those skills. These might be educational qualifications, technical or industry-specific qualifications, languages, knowledge of IT or information technology. These are what we call hard skills, the skills that you can demonstrate, that you can measure, that you perhaps have a certificate for. It says you can do them. On your CV, put less focus on soft skills. Soft skills are things like good communication skills, working well in a team, solving problems, being reliable. These are really important. It's not as important to emphasize these on your CV. The employer will be more likely to focus on these soft skills at interview. They need to know you've got the hard skills first before they invest time interviewing you. On your CV, use a clear structure, an easy-to-read font. The word font, F-O-N-T, means the style of the letters in the text. Whether it's Arial or Liberation Sans Serif or whatever it is, and make it black text on a white background. It's easier to read, and it's not a time to use unusual colours or text to stand out. That could risk looking unprofessional. It needs to look businesslike and efficient. Just before I go on, if you have a job interview coming up and you need to speak English, you could give yourself an intense English learning experience by buying Course 1 Activate Your Listening from Adept English. This course will help you tune into English conversation with two speakers, just what you need ahead of an interview in English. Back to you and your CV. Don't make it longer than two A4 pages. The people reading your CV will look up possibly hundreds of CVs every day. They don't want something long. It needs to be just long enough to show them who you are and why you're worthy of including in the yes pile. And break the information into sections with headings to help them read through and access your information quickly. It may sound obvious, but put your name very clearly at the top of your CV, along with your contact details. You want them to contact you, don't you? Don't make those details hard to find then. And if you've already got a title, a job title for your profession, put that at the side of your name. For example, I would put UKCP Registered Psychotherapist and BACP Accredited Counsellor. Include your mobile phone number and your email address. And make sure it's a professional sounding email address, not something that sounds funny or informal. You don't need to put your postal address on there. It's 2022. But your location might be helpful, especially if you're applying internationally. Include a brief, that means short, professional profile. A quick paragraph at the top of the CV which just summarises who you are professionally. It should give a quick overview of who you are, what roles you've had, and what you would bring to this role if you were hired. The skill here is in communicating what you've done and why they want you without using clichéd phrases. Clichéd, that's C-L-I-C-H-E-D, means the phrases that everybody uses. The phrases which recruiters and employees will have read and heard hundreds of times before. It's good to be inventive. Think of new ways of saying what they want to hear. And this professional profile should be little more than 5 or 6 lines. Next, it's a good idea to bullet point your skills. Then the recruiter or employer can immediately see that you fit the skill set they're looking for. Go back to the job advert. Make sure that you've included the skills that they've listed there. This will keep you in the running as the recruiter reads through your CV. You don't want to be put in the no pile at this point. Then you need to show them your employment or work history. Put times and dates clearly there and start with the most recent employment first. It's called reverse order. This shows how you acquired those skills and demonstrates what you're experienced in. Remember, space on your CV is precious, so give most focus to recent jobs, less focus to jobs you did longer ago. Employers are interested in you now. And if you haven't had many jobs, if it's early in your career, then including other roles like voluntary work, work placements, which you might have done while you were at school or college, or other positions of responsibility. Again, as long as you can talk about what skills you gained with these experiences and these skills relate to the job you're applying for, it's all good. Give the dates you were in each job, the employer or the organisation, and your job title. Again, bullet points are good for your main responsibilities. Try to show how you acquired and used these key skills that you need for the job you're applying for now. They want to see the history of how you got to be the person you are now and all that you have to offer. And if you've got particular achievements in a job role, especially ones that you can attach figures to, that's even better. Things like, I played a valuable part in increasing customer satisfaction by 50%. Or, in my social media role, I increased traffic on the company website by 300%. Next, briefly list your main qualifications, again, in reverse time order. Again, it's best done in bullet points. That means a number of points with a dot at the side. And it should come below the details of your employment history. If you're experienced in your role and you've had many years of work experience, just list your main qualifications here briefly. And if this job is early in your career and you've had less work experience, then give more detail about your education. Being young and early in your career is often an advantage, and they'll look at your education history to get a sense of you instead. The last thing on your CV, if you choose to put it on, should be your hobbies and interests section. At this point, the recruiter or employer may not yet be interested in getting to know you. They're just trying to arrive at a short list of people that they may want to interview. The main point at this stage is that your CV wants to be on that pile. If later on they've got you coming in for interview, it's then that they may want to read that hobbies and interests section. Or it may even be after they've met you, when they're thinking about whether to make you a job offer or about how well you'd fit into the team. So this section, hobbies and interests, should go last of all. This isn't what's going to grab their attention at the start of the process. And things like, I enjoy travel, cinema, eating out. Well, you'd be pretty unimaginative if you didn't enjoy those things. So saying that is not that interesting. Those things are a given for most people. And don't put anything weird as your hobbies or interests. It might put people off. But instead, focus on things which are more unusual about you or which are noteworthy achievements. It works especially well if you do something in your spare time, which again demonstrates the skills that they're looking for. Perhaps you're the captain of your local basketball team, you're a school governor, you're involved in charity work, or you maintain your own blog or social media profile for admirable or laudable purposes. These things can really interest employers. So I hope that helps. Even listening to this podcast from the point of view of the vocabulary I'm using, words like recruiter, employer, resume, bullet points, work experience, all these things are useful. And this will get you in the mindset for your job application and your job interview. And hopefully I've also given you some good advice on CVs in general too. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.